Suddenly, Sir Nigel stopped at the castle of De Rochefort, a cruel French overlord, and found himself, his squire, Alain Edrickson, and his two archers trapped in the blazing chateau as rebellious peasants attacked in order to murder De Rochefort.
And now, back to 14th century France for Chapter 4 of The White Company.
As the fire raged higher, the peasants turned their attention from Sir Nigel and his followers to looting De Rochefort's castle before it was entirely consumed by flames. Down in the courtyard, half-clad wretches, their bare limbs all spattered with blood, strutted about with plumed helmets on their heads, or with Lady De Rochefort's silken gowns tied round their waists and trailing on the ground behind them. Casks of choice wine had been rolled out from the cellars, and starving peasants squatted, goblet in hand, draining off vintages that De Rochefort had set aside for noble guests. Others, with slabs of bacon and joints of dried meat on the ends of their pikes, held them up to the blaze or tore at them ravenously with their teeth.
Out on the wall now! Once across the parapet and we gain the tower, we can hold them there.
Lord, that peasant sees us!
Aylward, stop that man! Good draw, Aylward! Now run and keep down!
They're hurtling stones at us! Be careful!
As long as they don't hit us, we're safe! Poodle John, keep your head down!
I say I'm right behind you!
There's the door to the tower. Yep, it seems to be stuck.
Let me try it, Sir Nigel. No, my lord. It is not stuck. It's locked.
And we've no key.
Hey, this rock is key enough for me. Stand back. Poodle John will set his muscles to the task.
Yeah. There we are. Now, archers, up two steps with you. We'll take the lot of them here at the door. Shoot above our heads. Elaine and I will use swords on the lower step.
And gladly, my lord.
Hola, let them come. I feel the blood coursing in my veins. Hola for the Grey Goose Shop.
As Sam Aylward thundered his war cry, the peasants rushed forward in a desperate attempt to take the staircase. The first rogue had not moved three steps before an arrow from Aylward's bow struck him full in the chest, and he fell, coughing and sputtering across the threshold. Close at his heels followed 20 furious peasants, who flung themselves again and again against the swords which confronted them. It was cut and parried and stabbed as quick as eye or hand could act. The door was piled high with bodies, and the stone floor slippery with blood. When, slowly and sullenly, the throng gradually drew off, leaving 11 of their number dead at the feet of the poor victor.
Ah, the dogs have had enough.
Oh, no, Sam. They run this way with brushwood and flaming torches. We can't stay here.
Then up the stairs with you, Elaine. Lead the way.
As the peasants set torches to piles of dry faggots at the base of the tower, a choking smoke filled the air, and the four Englishmen could scarcely grope their way up the staircase, leading to the very summit of the square tower, which rose like a last island of refuge amidst a sea of fire. At their very feet was the square courtyard, crowded with howling, dancing peasants, their fierce faces upturned, their clenched hands waving, all drunk with bloodshed and vengeance.
By my hilt, John, I doubt if we'll see Spain this journey. It's a joy to me to know that my feather bed is safe with Dame Eliza at the Pied Marlin Inn.
I have 13 arrows yet. If one of them flies without being a hit, then by the quang of the string, I deserve my doom.
Sir Nigel.
What is it, Elaine?
If it please you, my lord, there are two great tubes of iron in the corner with many heavy balls, which may be those bombards and shots I've heard talk of.
By St. Ives, you're right, lad. Bombards they are, and of good size. And here's the powder that works them.
Poodle John!
Yes, my lord!
Come here! Lift this box of powder!
Yes, my lord!
Bring it to the edge here where the attackers are thickest round the fire. Now, Aylward, watch carefully. John, throw back the lid and drop the box into the fire.
Lion!
Look at them! Strewed and blackened for 40 yards round. They're all confused. A bold rush may rout them. Down the stairs!
Aye, my lord! Aylward! Hold him, John!
Hey,
down the
stairs! Elaine, stop! The wall's fallen in! The stairs blocked and the fire still rages below! We're trapped! Trapped in this tower!
And I've a dozen arrows left and a dozen hearts they'll find! One! Two! Three!
And another for me!
I prepare for death! Ha ha! Already I hear the singing of angels!
Angels! Then you hear it too!
It's men!
There is singing!
It's men!
By my 10 fingers were saved! It's the marching song of the White Company!
With sudden upraised forefinger, Sam Aylward stood listening. Suddenly a deep-voiced, rollicking chorus sprang up from somewhere out of the darkness. Hundreds of hearty throats chanting, "We'll all drink together to the Grey Goose Feather and the land where the Grey Goose flew."
By my hilt, it's the dear old bow song of the company. Here come 200 as fine lads as ever twirled a shaft over their thumbnails. Hark to them, how lustily they sing!
Nearer and clearer, swelling up out of the night, came a rugged band of men, their white jerkins gleaming in the moonlight, and the fire's reflection glancing off the red emblem of St. George that was blazoned on each chest.
There they come, their hearts of gold. Now they're on the further side of the road. Hola! Johnston, Eccles, Cook, Howard! Would you see a gallant knight, a young squire, and two of your archers done foully to death?
Who's there? Who speaks with an English tongue?
It's I! It's Sam Aylward of the company! And here's your captain, Sir Nigel Loring, and two others, all ready to be grilled like herrings!
Wherever there is trouble, there's Sam Aylward in the middle of it! But who are these ill-faced rogues who black our path? Out, Sergeant, give them the flatterman, lad! Don't waste your shafts on such knaves!
There was little fight left in the peasants, still dazed by the explosion. In a very few minutes, they were in full flight, leaving the morning sun to rise on a blackened ruin where the night before had been a magnificent castle. As the gray lines in the eastern heaven deepened into pink, the archers shot up ropes and rescued the trapped men from the very top of the flaming tower. Sir Nigel Loring received 3 hearty cheers from the men of his command, and before night was on the countryside again, they were marching to join the King's army at Bordeaux.
Dear Lady Loring and Lady Maud, I write for my Lord Sir Nigel, who is inspecting the stalwart men of his white company on this cold, bleak morning in March. We are in a small valley somewhere in northern Spain, having crossed the Pyrenees as advance guard for the King's army. The archers are polishing their bows as the Spaniards are not far off, and Sir Nigel with the other knights...
Are you in this tent?
Yes, Sir Nigel. I was writing to your good wife.
Excellent,
and...
Yes. This letter came for me by King's messenger this morning. What do you make of it?
Well, let me see, my lord. It is from Lady Loring to you, and... Oh.
There's something wrong at Castle Twynham?
It's my brother. He's dead.
Has anything happened to my wife or daughter?
Oh, no, my lord. They're fine. My brother tried to steal your daughter Maud for his bride, and Lady Loring rallied the castle guard and a shaft struck him down. This means I am the owner of Minstead now.
A man of property, your late, and a much fairer one than your late brother. It'll be good to have you for a neighbor when we return to England.
Oh, perhaps for more than a neighbor, my lord.
Eh?
Sir Nigel, I love your daughter, the Lady Maud. And unworthy as I might be, I'd give my heart's blood to serve her.
By St. Paul, Edrickson, you aim high in this matter. Our blood is very old.
Mine is also old, my lord.
The Lady Maud is our only child. She'll inherit all our lands.
Then must I remind you that I am the only Edrickson left?
Why haven't you mentioned your love before, Elaine? In sooth, I think you've treated me poorly.
I did not mean to, Sir Nigel.
Yes, my St. Paul, I don't know why I should mix in this matter. I found Maud quite able to look after her own affairs. I've always said that a brave lad should win her. And if God spare you, Elaine, I think you will show yourself well.
My lord.
Go and alert the archers. It's time we were marching. There's no pass at the further end of this valley, and it's a perilous place should the enemy come on us.
More perilous with a storm coming up.
Storm? Yes, I hear the rumble. No, Wally! That's not thunder.
My lord! Sir Nigel!
Yes, John, we're in here.
Spanish troops, 6,000 or so, coming this way. We're directly in their path.
The mist covers us. Have we time to ride out the further end of the pass?
A troop of mountain goats might, but not a company of horsemen. They've seen us. I hear the Spanish trumpets.
By my faith, if they're in a humor for battle, we may promise them some sport before they sound the death bell over us. There is a hill in the center of this gorge on which we might take our stand.
I noticed it last night, my lord. No better place could be found for the purpose. It is very steep at the back.
Then unloose the horses, Hoddle John. Have Aylward summon the archers. Elaine, gather Sir Oliver, Sir Simon, Sir Angus. Order the ranks and fling wide the banners. 400 of the White Company against 6,000 of Spain.
Sir Oliver! Sir Simon! Sir Angus!
Hear them come. It's the rumble of death. Well, our souls are God's, and our bodies the king's, and our swords for St. George and for England.
Chapter 4 of The White Company by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
And so ends The White Company.
You know, George, for once you may be right.
You mean they're going to be slaughtered to the last man, like the Light Brigade?
I mean that you'd better be sure to listen tomorrow for the smashing conclusion to our story. Till then, so long.
So long, John. We'll all be listening tomorrow. Same time, same station, for the fifth and final chapter of The White Company on Mutual's Adventure Parade. John Griggs leads the adventure parade at the same time over many of these Mutual stations every weekday afternoon, Monday through Friday. Be sure to listen for the world's most famous stories of action, mystery, and adventure on Adventure Parade. Adventure Parade is produced and directed by Robert and Jessica Maxwell. Music is composed and played by John Garth. The White Company was adapted for Adventure Parade by Gene Wyckoff. This program came from New York. Stay tuned now for Hop Harrigan, which follows in just a moment. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.